Welcome to a new and exciting episode. We're going to talk about generative art and FX params in particular, which is an FX hash feature. And we'll get to what all of that is in a minute. But let's start with the Angel Swing introduction by Casper.
Thanks, Espresso. And welcome to our guests, Dan and Brendan. We are the Angel Swing, an international NFT art gallery and podcast show founded by friends around the world. Espresso and Johannes are from Europe. Yun's from the US. Rebel and myself, we're from Asia. We're driven by our common passion to showcase independent artists and their art and helping them stand out from the crowded NFT market that's pretty much dominated by PFP projects. We showcase the art in an on-cyber gallery, as a larger collection of art naturally brings a cross-pollination of viewership, and that has helped quite a few of our artists reach collectors through sales. We've organically grown since into a community of artists and collectors, but most importantly, friends, with regular Twitter spaces like these, which are then recorded into podcast formats in Spotify and YouTube. The easiest way to get in touch with us would be to join our cozy Discord. Everything's on our link in our bio, so hit us up if you're an indie artist who needs help featuring your art, or if you just want to join a friendly art NFT community. Last but not least, we'd like to mention that nothing on this show should be construed as investment advice. This podcast is for informational purposes only. And with that, I'll hand it over back to Espresso. Thanks, Espresso.
Thank you, Casper. Okay, so as you mentioned, we're joined by artist and printmaker Daniel Gatt and art collector and crypto OG Brendan Rell. And very excited to chat with the two of you about FX params and generative art and all of this good stuff. And since this is your first time on our show, why don't we start with you telling us a few words about yourself and how you got into generative art. So if we can start with Dan first.
Hey, I'm Dan Gatt. So yeah, you already said I'm an artist and printmaker, and I mainly use drawing machines for pen plotting. And I was always fascinated by this combination between digital and physical outputs, particularly with the machine drawing for me. And then I moved from the pen plotting very quickly into NFTs on art blocks. And that's kind of how I got into it. Although there's a little bit of a story behind how I spent years trying to escape from digital. And I finally got the pen plotter. I went, this is it. I'm going to do physical stuff. And then about a year later, NFTs grabbed me straight back into the digital again. So that's roughly where I come from.
Yeah, this space is very enticing in many ways. But yeah, I think this pen plotting aspect is a very interesting physical side of things that we would love to also chat a bit about today. But yeah, first, let's also hear from Brendan how you got into generative art and a few words about yourself.
Yeah, so an artist and practicing art for quite a while, but got into NFTs around 2019, primarily through crypto art, and just dove right along that journey to be around art blocks when it was launched. So I minted a squiggle on day one and really immediately got excited about minting something that was unique to me and was code-based and all of those things. So fast forward to the launch of FX Hash. It was around the time when Hikit Nunk was going through a few things, but the Tezos crypto art ecosystem was just booming and had a lot of momentum. And when I first learned about FX Hash, I dove in there too, minted a whole bunch of RGBs and had a lot of fun in the Discord. And I guess since then, I've really had a price discussion channel in the Discord as my home in NFTs. And now, you know, large chunk of my collection is all generative art. So obviously there's a bunch of things going on and wanted to be there for them and excited to talk about it today.
Thank you. That's great. Let's dive into the main topic. So we wanted to focus today on this new feature, FX params. And all I'm going to say about that is that it lets collectors have some control over what they mint. And we are very lucky to have Dan and Brendan here today. Dan made the first FX params project called YYYC, launched, I think, within an hour after the feature went live or something. And Brendan is the top collector, having 77 pieces by last count, way ahead of number two on the list. So this is going to be the perfect set of people to discuss this feature with. And I wanted us to start with Dan talking a bit about how this project came about. So what prompted you to start working on it and how was the process? And if you don't mind, also go into a bit more detail about what FX params is for those that know that you can mint generative art, but params is so much more.
Sure, I can do that. It actually was very last minute, which I often do things. So for FX Hash's first birthday, I was, I'm really busy. I've got all my own stuff to do. I don't have time to do this birthday thing. And then I saw everyone else talking about it and knew it was coming up. I was like, okay, I'll do this. And I was stuck in a hotel for about 2 days. So I worked on a project for that I had kicking around. And then I did exactly the same for the params. I saw it coming up. I was like, no, I'm too busy to do this params thing. And then on the Friday before it launched, I was like, I should probably do something with this. And I had something in mind anyway. And then I stayed up pretty much the whole weekend. I think I got 6 hours sleep and it launched. I had my time zones wrong. I thought it was going to launch an hour later than it really did. So I was busy writing the description for the project and I dropped into the Discord and everyone's going, hey, this is really cool. It's gone live. I wonder what's going to be the first thing. I was like, oh, I've misjudged this. So I quickly finished off the description and then published it. But yeah, it was fueled by Red Bull and lack of sleep. I think it turned out pretty all right despite that. And for those that are not familiar with what FX params is, what's a good way of describing this? So with generative art, you used to have this thing called short form generative art, which is when generative art wasn't widely known, you'd have people who worked with computers and they would use computer code to generate this artwork. But what they would do is they would generate thousands upon thousands of outputs and then pick the best two or three and then present those as though you were normal artwork. You'd go, here's my final pieces, but they were done by computer. The advantage of that thing is you could use more risky code. So you could use code that didn't always generate amazing results because you got to sit there and you got to reject all the bad ones and just keep the couple of really good ones. And then we've moved on to long form generative art, which is where you don't have that curation step after lots have been generated. You have to make sure that every single one of them is good. So you can no longer do this risky code part. You really have to narrow down and have a narrow band of output saying everything is going to fall into this category. And neither is better than the other, but it does mean that you're slightly more limited in our traditional long form generative art because you have to make sure that the outputs fall in a certain range. But with parameters, what you can do is you can reintroduce more of that risky code. So kind of the design space or all the different outputs, you can have ones that sort of more edge cases, and then users can play with the parameters to actually say, I quite like it when the output has this certain color and it has this certain effect, but I don't like it when it starts bringing in this element. So you're allowing the end user, the collector, into that curation step. So you can have slightly more interesting and, like I said, risky code because you're involving the community in that final step. And I think that's where it was kind of exciting for me because I was like, oh, right, okay, now I can do these other extra things and not worry about it quite so much. And it turned out that I probably should have worried about it a little bit more because the first few that started coming through certainly didn't match my expectations what was going to happen, if that makes sense. And maybe Brendan can talk to more about that.
Yeah, sure. It definitely was similar for me where I wasn't quite expecting FX params to launch when it did. And even when it did, I did think it was a different project that was sort of scheduled for that. So I happened to check what was going on and all of a sudden this project was up and I had previously collected, I think, several of Dan's FX Hash projects. So it was an easy decision. Rev Dan Cat has the first FX params project. It looks really cool. And let's see if I can get a low ID. So I went through, I think I got the third ticket and went into the params process for the first time with this sort of conflicted feeling of wanting to just sit in and play with all of the sliders and everything, but at the same time, thinking I might get within the first 10. And so I kind of got a few things going, and in particular, the thick setting for the lines really caught my eye. So that was sort of my big decision on the first piece and hit mint and thought, oh, this is probably number 9 or 10. But when it came through the indexer, it was number 1. So it was a bit of a surprise, but I did kind of realize like, wow, that's a very satisfying experience. It does still feel to me like it belongs in the project, maybe number one a bit less so, but this is really something. This isn't just a kind of a novelty. It really is a new way to do this and to have artists collaborate with collectors. So I furiously minted a whole bunch more, really trying to get as many within the first 100 FX params tokens that would be minted. And it was that process of just minting, because they were quite affordable, that I started to spend more and more time with the sliders. And I think one takeaway I had from that process is that it really does make perfect. And if you only have one crack at it with the sliders, you hope for something, you can kind of choose something, but there are so many options that being able to do 10, for example, or more, you really get good at it. You get to understand the types of parameters that you like. you know, what's likely to produce something that looks the way it does in your head. And yeah, I think because of that, I was so happy, especially once I got through the first maybe 20 that I minted, that the results were just stunning. I mean, it's one thing to be the first params project, but I really think that this is simply one of the best projects on the platform and perhaps in all of generative art, because it's such a simple concept that is so flexible and it's expressive as well. Like, I really feel as though you can imbue your personality into it. And yeah, so that's kind of the story of how I did it. A part of the aesthetics of my collection has been kind of a mix of choosing a parameter or a set of parameters and then hitting mint and ultimately getting a randomized version of those parameters. So not what you see is what you get. However, I eventually got better at using the danger seed option in YYYC. And maybe that's a good time to hand it back over to Dan just to kind of explain what's going on with that and what was different. And I think I eventually found a balance of using danger seeds and the regular minting.
Yeah, I can talk to the seeds a little bit because we've had a few projects where people are getting safe seeds, but a seed in a random type of thing is like when you're playing Minecraft, people familiar with that, is if you put an initial seed, it can just be your name or a random letter, set of numbers, and you give that seed to somebody else in Minecraft, you'll both be in exactly the same initial looking world. So if you both head north, you'll have the same mountains, you have the same lakes, all at the same place. So it's a way of guaranteeing a set output, which is not something we've really had in generative art before. And I wasn't sure about it because I'd seen there was some discussion from the FX hash people where they were saying they weren't going to allow this sort of set in stone seed. But I also knew that from playing with the back, hold on, let me rephrase this. They also released a set of tools called Lens that allows an artist to preview what the outputs might look like. And I'd been playing with that for about 3 or 4 weeks before the whole thing actually launched. So I kind of already had this idea that what you saw wasn't necessarily what you were going to get, because you got to lock in all these different parameters, but the minting experience was still the same as before. You hit the mint button, you get a random hash, and that ultimately decides what the end result is going to be. And I was like, oh, some people aren't going to like this. So what I'll do is I'll add this ability for seed in. But the FX hash people had previously said they weren't going to allow that, and then at the last minute sort of changed their minds, suggested it's something that might come in the future. And because this was the first project, I wanted to explore that as a possibility, also have the thing where you just hit the random button and can get something good out of it. So that's why I quickly threw the danger seed in, but I didn't explicitly call it out at the start because I think I didn't want my project to get banned straight away for adding it in. So I kind of hid it, and it stayed hidden for a couple of hours maybe. But anyway, that's what a seed is allows people to explicitly show what the output is going to be. And Zancan has done something interesting with that with his most recent project that's just come out. I'm sure people are talking about it, where you can lock in all these different things and say, I definitely want to have this style and I definitely want to have this style. But you can leave the paper color as random. And only if you leave that as random can you get this pink background or you get a blue background. So again, we're having this balance between what the artist is allowing or what they're setting, and then this randomness, or the opposite of random, completely defined output by the user. Anyway, so that's where YY's seed came in. And I definitely wanted to have these three different levels in this project of, one, you can just hit the mint button like you used to and you'd get something good, which is my presets, the randomness preset. I was focusing down to a certain style of output. You can have the complete user control where they change all the things and have any output. And then you also have this seed where you pin it straight down. I think the community's response to it has been quite kind of interesting. And again, I think Brendan can probably talk to that a bit more, like the observations of what's come up from that.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorite parts about the project is that ultimately through the name and through the danger seed, that to me, I interpret it as a sort of comment on these choices and how we see art, how we value art, the different ways to make generative art. It spurred all these conversations about whether you should be able to just do it the way you want. What are the different levels, or what's the spectrum of choice? And with the danger seed, it involves typing in a string, and ultimately the results of that string are not up to you. It's completely random. So there is a what you see is what you get element, but it still incorporates the randomness of the project. And in my view, sort of the artist's voice in that way. Whereas some projects, I believe you can simply exactly choose your sliders and mint exactly that. I really enjoyed the fact that no matter what I did, there was randomness involved, similar to other platforms where you could simply pre-select an output, but it was still based on the code in the project. So that's kind of how I look at YYYC seed, is that it is almost a comment on, I wouldn't actually say a comment, comment, or perhaps a question, and almost a form of performance art through code, where this tool was released to the crowd and we're going to see what they do. And not only that, but we're going to see what their reactions are. So I know that early on, I kind of had a few where, wow, it looks amazing. Like, this is what I want. But I knew I wasn't going to get it. And sure enough, when I minted it, it was so different than what I was expecting. But being fortunate enough to have a lot of kicks at the can, so to speak, I eventually embraced that. And I eventually sort of found a bit of a thrill there. I know there was a lot of commentary that people were wanting exactly what they had in front of them. And it's interesting to see how many they've minted and what that does to their opinion on being able to choose exactly what they want. And that whole conversation to me stems from this project. So it's really exciting. What I did, my strategy for the danger seat to try to keep it unique to me, was to just, like, with my fingers on the keyboard, type a bunch of random things and then progressively delete a character each time, and it would show me an output. And it's a pretty addictive process, again, especially with this project, where it's just so visually appealing. It's so unique. Some of the effects with the different sort of ribbons crossing over each other can be so different, yet because there's consistency in the background paper color and the overall plot or aesthetic, it really does feel cohesive to me. So I would just sit in a cafe and play with the danger seed and go through a million outputs and save my favorites, and then kind of at times decide to go back and pull it from my list and mint it after I had sat on it and decided what was really compelling. And it created this whole process where it was more of a mood-based thing. Am I in the mood for a random thing? And almost, can I pull it off? And given what I already have in my collection, can I do something that's new? And it's not simply another version of a YYYC that I already have. It kind of became a bit of a challenge that way. And at the same time, can I find just incredible danger seats that really, to me, in that pre-selected way, show the potential of the algorithm as well, and then intermix them? So it was a bit of an adventure, and I'm still wrapping my mind around it. And I guess between wallets, I have 87 total and had to stop myself. There are still tickets out there, and I'm very tempted to jump back in because I think it was so fun. And it just unlocked this element of fun. It also unlocked this element of appreciation of the algorithm, of the code, of like, wow, like, it can really do all of these different things that they were always in there. I simply had to type the right seed, or I had to just tweak the params in a certain way. And all those things wrapped together were such a leap from simply showing up and hitting mint and hoping, that I can't help but wonder what's going to come next.
Yeah, totally agree. Also, there's three different modes that Dan mentioned, and had an experience of spending a lot of time with the project compared to just kind of drive by minting something and then getting something and then moving on to the next project. So, and I also would like us to kind of dive into a bit also how FXHash have implemented this versus other platforms. But before that, let's go to Casper for a question.
Yeah, thanks, guys. The artwork is truly amazing. But I think as a general explainer for a lot of our listeners who might be coming from ETH and potentially having an experience with a project like QQL by Tyler Hobbs, how is the FX Params platform and YYYC different in terms of what each is supposed to do versus an example experience from QQL?
Okay, so what's happening with YYYC is someone types it in, again, like the random letters, and then once that is set in there, there can only, well, this isn't strictly true, but there can only be one output from that. It's always going to give you just that output. But if you imagine instead you have this whole art space and all these different parameters move you around within this space, if you're not using the seed, but instead you're sort of focusing on an area where there's certain colors and there's certain size to everything and there's a certain, like, chaos to it. Imagine you had on one end of the scale complete chaos, on the other hand complete order, and you chose that you like the more chaotic outputs that are really colorful, but somebody else might choose that they like the area that is, like, monochromatic and very simple and straightforward. On something like QQL, you would change your parameters into roughly that zone or that area, and then it would give you a seed or a string of numbers that then describes jumping into that location, but not the exact output. So once you have that seed, you can say, hey, if you want to have things more like this, you can use this seed and then get something similar. Or if you want something really chaotic, you can use that seed over there. So we don't really have that on FX Params. And I know some people do this, is when there's a project, they buy the ticket and then they look at all the outputs. So instead of diving in straight away, you go, oh, this is what everybody else has done, and I kind of like those ones. and you can go and view their parameters. But if there isn't a seed, you can set the same parameters as that user has and then get something similar to it. So technically, the difference between the two is you don't get given a way to easily share those parameter settings with another user, which is what QQL is kind of doing. But I think we might get there at some point. I mean, there's a whole big discussion to have about that. But I'm not sure if that clears it up a little bit. Why the Huawei Danger Seed allows you to have a very specific one. So to that, if someone generates something interesting and then somebody else views it and they copy that danger seed and they use it themselves, they will get exactly the same output, which is why I called it the danger seed, because I wanted to establish that if you do this, then there's a risk that somebody else could also copy your output, which again is something that I wanted in there for discussion. FXHash has now built a way around that, but I thought that was an interesting take on it too.
Oh yeah, thanks for explaining then.
Yeah, thanks. And I think also it's interesting to dive into kind of differences and similarities with other platforms. Obviously, QQL is probably the most widely known example of this. You can mint what you see instead of random. But we also have examples from Cverso and also Verse, where you can kind of cycle through a lot of outputs and save your favorite outputs. So it's notable that FXHash went much deeper, I'd say, with a lot more kind of fine-tuning control. It's not either random or you can save one output and mint that output. So what's kind of the benefits of how FXHash has done it, in your view?
I'll take this one really quickly at the start and then hand over. I think instead of going, what's one of the benefits, looking at the flip of that is one of the downsides is it can be overwhelming for the collector. If the artist puts too many options or things that they can do in there, then you sort of have this cognitive load that even stops you from doing anything with it in the first place. So as an artist, you kind of have to have this balance between giving too much control, keeping your vision intact, or having just the right amount of control. So I would say the user interface on FX Params isn't geared towards user-friendliness at the moment, particularly right at the very start. So that the onus is still on the artist at that point. There was another thing I was going to say on there, but it's gone from the top of my head. But hold on. Is it? No, I've completely forgotten what the other thing is. I'll hand over to Brendan.
Thanks. Yeah, I think I've definitely played around quite a bit with QQL and also the pre-selected options on Verse. The feeling I got from QQL is that it succeeds because it's sort of about this ultimate freedom. There's a whole platform built just for that artwork and it kind of feels good. And you could say, hey, generate a whole lot of outputs based on these parameters. So in my view, that really shines through the real expansiveness, whereas I'll echo exactly what Dan said about FX Params. It really seems as though it succeeds through constraints. And it says you can come in and bring your influence, but in a way that's going to perhaps help the project rather than just take it in a bunch of crazy directions. And I've definitely found that opinions on FX Params as a feature of FXHash have been mixed, and that often it depends on which projects they've tried, because many projects using params do have a million sliders. And I keep saying the same thing. If it feels like work, then it's not going to be fun. And there are a few projects that I think have really nailed that balance. And I think that is almost an art in itself or a skill in itself that artists will have to figure out, play with other projects, decide what they think. And YYY Seed really struck that balance of letting you easily manipulate obvious parameters that were going to do obvious things and let you feel confident that you weren't kind of just needing to take all the sliders and the numbers and randomize them and not really knowing what they did. So I think that feeling of connection and that feeling that you have a sense of why you have an option, and it's not just like, okay, vertical axis here, and you're like, what did that really do? And I'm not sure if I'm seeing a huge difference with any of these options. It's all obvious when you use YYY Seed, kind of what these params are for and why you might want to tweak a certain param to get a certain look. So I think it's changing. FXHash is trying to open it up, but in general, they want to give artists the option. But I think in fundamentally, it's a bit about constraints and knowing that if you kind of give everyone everything, not only might the outputs be less cohesive, but there's a lot of mental overhead. And it's like a video game. If you have a video game and it's like you've gone to your job, often it's hard to get motivated to kind of come back to it. But if it's got that real good gameplay where you can jump in, it has has like a feel to it, then you just enjoy the experience as well as the result. And to me, that's really where artists should be focusing on. And ultimately, sort of like Dan said, it can help them keep the outputs still hopefully within their vision, as opposed to just being like, say, QQL or some other platform that might come out with complete flexibility. It's almost like not giving them MS Paint, but sometimes akin to that. And I really enjoy keeping the artist's voice in the art that way.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely did that on-prems where some of the options actually have like suggested. So in the dropdown, you can just leave it at the suggested by artist. So for example, picking the number of lines that you're going to use, the number of lines that you want changes depending on how many of these tiles you have building it all up. So if it's a very dense output, you don't want to have very many lines generally. And if it's quite a chunky thing, then you have fewer lines. So I definitely set my initial settings to be that. So if you didn't want to go too deep into it, you can just say, oh, I quite like the 3x4, but I'll leave all these other ones as the artist suggested. Or I can choose, I actually want to override what the artist is suggesting a little bit. And that was my way of, again, with this co-creation of working with the collectors, but not putting too much onus on them to get it right. I didn't want them to feel like they had made a mistake or had somehow messed up. So that's why that was in there.
Yeah, wanted also to dig into this tweet that we pinned about these images that you posted on Twitter, Dan, quite early in the process, I think, where on the one hand, you have your preferred range of settings generating a certain style, and then the real actual mints on the other side, and they are quite strikingly different. So how did you think and feel about this when you saw it?
Well, I kind of put that there as a joke, but I felt fine. I felt great about it. This kind of throws back to what we originally said of when you're doing long form, you have to make sure all the outputs are kind of good. So you narrow down the area that they can fall in. So the image on the left, or these sort of all these good outputs, as I would say them, are the ones that are curated in the code as though I were doing a normal long form generative project. The ones on the right, when you let the collectors get their hands on it, there are some delightful ones in there. There are some that I really love that like, two solid bold colors intertwined with each other or overlapping. But from a code point of view, I couldn't risk allowing that to happen because there's too many things can kind of go wrong with it. But when you allow the collector to shape that a little bit more in a way that I can't do within the code, you get these really great outputs that would never appear at all if I just let the code run. And even more so with the YYY seed, that even with all the sliders, there are certain areas of the art design space you can't reach, you can't get to, certain combinations. But when you dive into the YYY seed, then you can reach even further into the very dark corners of this art space and get really special things. But there's no other way to get a hold of them. And I think that's why some people really enjoyed starting to explore around in that YYY seed thing to get those really unique outputs.
Yeah, I remember, Brendan, you said at one point during this week where we all focused on YYY seed in Discord that once you go there, danger seed, you don't go back. And wasn't that kind of a lure of this areas of the algorithm to discover that drew you in?
It definitely was. It's amazing to think that essentially one project that, albeit has a lot of flexibility, can produce these images, you know? And it's interesting to think of the expectations where I think a lot of us, or most of us, know Dan's practice well and know how central the plotter is to so many of his works. So even in the description, it says this is attempting to make something that would translate really well in a plotter. And you have this other set of expectations where you have people like me who don't have a plotter, would love to get them plotted. But my goal is more about digital art and producing something that will look great on the screen. And often something that's maybe more fine, that really brings out that plotterness, doesn't necessarily translate, let's say, from a distance in this bold way that it can often do when it's purely online. And I think that drove a lot of my exploration in the danger seed space and really trying to push it as hard as I could. And in particular, you end up playing this game where you try to, well, I wouldn't say try to, but you end up being drawn to outputs that look like something. So I actually have a long list that I'm going to be tweeting out this week of all of my favorite outputs that I've named. And a lot of the names have to do with kind of what I perceive going on in the image. So that ends up being a whole different set of goals than what a beautiful plotted piece might initially be. And that's a big part of the fun. Eventually, I did bounce a bit back and forth where, yeah, once you are able to go in and use the danger seed, you can can be like, oh man, like I just don't know if I would have ever been able to do this purely with the parameters. And I really want this output in my collection. And I really think it's exciting to put this output in the world as an example of params to say, like, look where it started and look where it can go. Look at the preview piece that's up there, which is this like perfect, beautiful plotted type thing, and compare it to some of the really like harsh or really like thick filled canvases or some of the really minimalist sort of single color things. It really is kind of an interesting conversation about expectations, goals, taste, all these things. And that the temptation is that you can mix your params and you can go ahead, but you kind of end up with something that I guess an expression of what you wanted, but it's also a bit of the chaos of the algorithm. And then it's nice to sort of balance that with the control of the danger seed. So I'm still feeling a bit of both and feeling excited about doing both, but I would probably have to admit that my favorite outputs did come from the danger seeds.
Yeah, that's great. And in your view, should every params project offer this kind of what you see is what you get type of feature?
I'm pretty torn on it. I was definitely putting comments and commentary out there leading up to the params launch that letting people simply have a million sliders, let them put it exactly where they want, and again, almost Microsoft paint their way into an output is kind of less exciting to me. It's almost like, well, just go make art then. And it's almost like you built a tool rather than an art piece. So I thought this project struck a perfect balance where you did have the option to get what you saw, but it always involved that randomness. It's just you had no control over what the seed was going to output. You simply had to go through a million of them in order to find those unique ones. I know that it's coming where people will choose exactly what they want. I do still feel as though that's a less exciting way to do it. So I'm happy to have my view evolve on that and curious what Dan thinks. But I think having that randomness ultimately being involved is a part of the value of why I come to generative art and why I buy generative art. It really has the artist's voice. It has the ghost in the machine. And that really generates excitement.
Yeah, I think my take on it, if I jump back just a little bit to this working with a pen plotter. So for a long time, for like 2 years, even before this, but I've been working with a pen plotter, I actually write the tool that previews the image on the page for me, on the screen for me. And I have all these sliders. I have things where I can change numbers and I can type stuff in, but the end result is always random. I don't know exactly what I'm going to get. And that's always been part of my work for the pen plotter, is that I set up these initial parameters and then I hit the plot button and it sends the plot to the pen plotter and then it destroys the file that it sent. So I can never actually repeat that pen plotter output. They're always random. It doesn't need to be like that. It's just how I happen to do my workflow. So it was a very easy transition to me to jump into FX params, because I went from that to going, when I moved into NFTs, to go, oh, this is like my pen plotter stuff. Only instead of getting to change all these sliders, I have to leave it completely up to random chance with the hash. So I think I was probably in a good position to be prepared for this params, which is why I think I hit the ground running. What I'm interested in seeing going further forwards, instead of this, what you see is what you get, is the artist being able to work more with an individual, like a collaboration, or with a community, where there's two scenarios that I see where an artist could produce all these different parameters you can change and then open it up to a community, like a Discord community or a number of people that you trust, who then slide all these parameters around for a week and then vote on their favorite position for those parameters. And then that gets locked in at the end of the week. So community has decided that these are their favorite outputs, but it's not pinned down to a specific output. And then once that's locked in, then people get to mint, but they get to mint within this small selection range set by the community, or even working with another artist. If you had Zancan, for example, and they set up all their parameters, and then they picked a collector to actually dial in the parameters and then hit the save button. And then that collector has kind of imposed their own artistic view on it. And then people will get those results, or like say Zancan pick 10 different artists and collectors to pick their favorite set of parameters. And I think it's that level of collaboration, which I don't think you can do on FX hash quite yet, but I think will certainly start appearing, this working between the two of you and the artist setting things up, but then somebody else dialing in the parameters. I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah, that was actually one of the big thoughts I had about this. The more I used it was that there are different types of minters, and some people take a bit more care and a bit more thoughtfulness, and some people just kind of rip right through it. And even recently, I did notice that a bunch of danger seeds were actually copied and reminted within YYY Seed, including one of mine. But hey, that's part of the game. And I think actually it kind of enhances it, because it is kind of part of the premise of that project. I did have a duplicate before because the actual field says that you have to have YYY to begin your string in order for it to work in the app. And at first, when I was rushing through minting these low ID tokens, I was like, oh, wait, so I just type YYY and that's it? Like completely unthinking. And of course, another collector, Max, had already done that before. I think we almost did it around the same time, but he minted his after. And so there are kind of these cases where the chaos comes in, but I do think that allow list might be something artists use where they target certain collectors who, just like Dan said, bring their voice as a collaboration with the artist in this intentional way, where the artist sets up the parameters and sets up the project, allows them to just nudge it in their unique direction. Whether there's a real platform feature for that or a sort of art project that uses that as the base premise, it would be interesting. But I really can foresee artists using the allow list function on FX params and FX hash to bring in certain collectors to control a little more of what the outputs look like. There is another project that I really love on FX params called Beautiful Friendship by Orkislev. And part of that involves writing text. And so that's a really interesting tightrope to walk when you give the minter free rein to write any kind of text they want, and it will be on the artwork. And as I went through that, and you can see there's just large variation between some of them that are more poetic and some of them that are just completely off the wall. And I thought, I bet artists are going to start to allow list certain collectors to sort of have permission to come in and play with their code.
Yeah, so it opens up this exciting universe of kind of co-creation. And it reminds me of the project Express Yourself, which the entire premise in that FX Params project is that you type in your text and you choose some palettes and some styles and mint it. So that's a very kind of interesting, novel ideas. And it also, I think, brings collectors in and get them more invested in a project, like emotionally invested. Also because like the mint is co-created in a way, so you kind of feel more attached to it. And let's see, we have a question also from June.
Thank you, Espresso. So Brandon, you seem to be like a great enthusiast about price discussion. Dan, also feel free to chime in with your opinion. What do you guys think will letting the collector co-create and co-curate a collection contribute to the future value of a project?
I think it's going to bring in a whole new set of dynamics around prices. And there's sort of that balance where, first of all, when you mint something with params, you do feel more of a connection to it. There's no doubt. I'm definitely someone who likes minting stuff on primary because of that connection, but there's more of an emotional attachment. At the same time, because of that flexibility, and it's not completely up to randomness, some of the outputs are really compelling. And I know I've bought on secondary a bunch of YYY seeds that were just beautiful and I might not have even thought to do. And so in that way, it kind of upped the price in a sense where it made it more desirable and I was willing to spend because, wow, that minter really nailed it. So there is a thing where, okay, people are going to hold them more tightly because they care more about them. And at the same time, there's going to be some real special outputs that are maybe price outliers that are chased after in a similar way to the God mode output of Fidenza or these things where, you know, what is a grail or previously rarity was used to assess value. And I think now we're going to be even more focused on art and the uniqueness of the output. So TBD, who knows where it's all going to go. I think there's a lot of learning to do on the collector community's behalf. And I ultimately think that it's going to provide a wider variance, whereas with normal FX hash projects, it's that typical way that you expect valuation across NFTs. This is going to be, some of them are just, you know, you're not that interested. And some of them you're like, I literally have to have that. It's so crazy. How did that person do that?
Yeah, I think there was some discussion as well. It's quite interesting watching when another artist mints somebody else's project and they bring their aesthetic to it. So there was some discussion around, I forget which project it was, but someone's going, oh, the artist is producing really lovely work. And I think sometimes because they understand how generative art works a little bit more, maybe they do have the art training that allows them to lend their eye to it. So I agree. I think it'll be interesting to buy a piece of artwork where the project is by one artist, but then the piece is created by another artist. And I've certainly seen people where they're making, it is easier to get a pair that work together, because you can use the same parameters so you can start matching colors. So the people buying two together or making three to form a triptych or matching other pieces in their collection. And I think that's kind of interesting. I don't think we'll get to the point, well, maybe we will, where you have personal shoppers, where maybe you have like a personal params setter where they look at your collection and then they shape things for your output. That's far out there, but I mean, it's certainly an option or something that could happen.
Yeah, Yeah, that's so true. And I think we've already seen in the digital art space, gen art space, that there are at least funds that use analysts to handpick pieces for their collection. So this seems very likely. And I also was thinking about, are there some types of gen art projects where it doesn't make sense to use params? Any examples that come to mind? So far, the only thing I've been thinking about is that a params project needs to load fast, because there have been a couple of params projects where, that I'm into, where you kind of had to wait like 5-10 seconds for every output preview, and it kind of kills the experience a bit. But are there other cases like that, or kind of techniques to keep in mind for artists when deciding params or not?
I'm going to let Brendan take this one.
I mean, yeah, it's a great question. I think as a collector, I guess as an artist who's not a generative artist and who hasn't really done art with code, but it's used to just drawing every morning and these sort of things, there are fundamental kind of things about art where what's the value and what are you bringing into the world and is it new? And even if it's not, is it kind of an extension of your personality? So in terms of the types of projects that might not need it, there are a lot of projects where the serendipity of the randomness really does kind of provide that value, or it's sort of a statement on the art that they've created a system. At least that's how I interpret it. So when I think of Zancan's Garden Monoliths, I don't see that as a project that would have benefited from params. Now, he has a project that's very similar and they do have params, but I personally think that the magic of Garden Monoliths is that it does sort of leave it up to nature in a way, or at least a simulation of nature. At the same time, YYY Seed is like the perfect example of this type of plot. It's also plotter art, but it's done in a graphical way where it's abstract. And so perhaps projects that are leading more in the abstract direction might be suited to it. But I think a lot of that, at least on my part, is still TBD.
Yeah, there's a lot of exploration to do, for sure. And yeah, since you mentioned the Zancan project, that's been kind of the talk of the town last few days. And I think we've seen several mechanics play out with that params project, where, for instance, some of the desired features, like pink palette, are kind of locked behind randomness. So you kind of end up with people minting multiple times almost identical pieces just to try to roll the palette. So there's been, and also some examples of people pushing the algorithm way out to the edge and meeting that for various reasons. So it's been interesting to watch. Let's go to Johannes on for a call for a question.
Hello, friends. Nice to be here in the end of the show. So I have a question. I'm wondering what you think about adding some more dynamic inputs to generated result output. For example, adding time, like time of the day. It looks differently in the morning than on the night, or maybe adding an oracle to one of the params. Let's say price goes down, it goes red image, price goes up, it goes green. That's something I would like to see, that it's changing with my mood. What do you think about these kind of params to be added to the palette? Oracles, time, block height.
Well, I think that's something that will benefit all the projects anyway. I've kind of wanted a time element so it knows how long it's existed for, so it knows what time it was minted as well as the current time, and then also which ID number. I think it will be kind of fun to have that, but I think that's just for all projects anyway. Certainly it would be nice to plug in things like web cameras or microphones or things like that as an input. I think that might be kind of interesting. I know everyone says we're really early, but we are just right at the start. When you're talking earlier about the speed, when we're looking at things like AI art, where it takes an awful long time, weeks, sometimes months, to train a model that outputs all of these things. As we move into the future, the training model for AI will get a lot quicker, will get a lot faster, and rendering things to screens will get a lot faster. So there's things at the moment that aren't possible. So real-time updating of AI GANs is something that's not possible. But an artist's job is to try to push towards that horizon. As that moves closer to real-time, the artist always has this new edge they can explore. So I think that's our role, and the role of the collector and the curators is to also spot artists who are doing that type of thing and jump in on those projects. So I think as long as an artist is always looking for the next thing and keeping an eye on collectors to also gauge how they're moving towards that new thing. And so again, both the collector and the artist are the decision makers here, and often we're just waiting for the technology to get faster before we use it. So there's always that new edge.
Yeah, I think the more options, the better probably. As a collector, as long as the artist is using them intentionally and not just loading all of them in there as a sort of free-for-all, these unique ways of inputs and on-chain oracles and things are going to produce some really unique things that it really would have never been possible without this type of param setup. So as long as it's still fun, as long as that gameplay element is still the first thing considered, I welcome it.
Yeah, absolutely. getting close to our allotted time here. Any thoughts about future projects? So, for example, Dan, are you going to build more Params project?
Well, I'm definitely going to do some more Params projects. And the nice thing about the YYY seed is I've written like pen plotting generative art creators before. Now that this project's minted out, even though you can't buy tickets, so I'm going to write up an article about this, is people can still use it as a tool to generate an output. So as you play with the parameters, there's the option to open up the whole thing in a new window. And once you've done that, you can save the SVG file to send to a pen plotter. So it's been minted out, but it's still a perfectly usable, valid tool for doing pen plots. So I might do a few more of those. That area interests me. So I could even put things up on FX Hash that you can't mint at all, but you can just use as a platform for generating these outputs. So yes, I'm certainly going to do some more Param stuff. I might have a couple of follow-ups to YYY seed. In the Red Bull fueled weekend, there were a few little cul-de-sacs I went down that had interesting outputs. And I wouldn't mind bringing those back for just like a small limited release of like 100 or something. And I think the next couple of projects after that probably won't use Params. I've got some follow-ups to the older projects, like the slight case of overbombing I need to do a follow-up to. So I'll probably not do them for a little bit. And I've got to focus on my art blocks projects as well. But yeah, that's my future.
Thanks. That's exciting. And what about you, Brendan? How do you think about collecting after this compared to before and art in general?
Yeah, it was sort of the first time where I was able to bring my inner artist into the equation, even though I've, you know, been around the art world quite a while and been collecting crypto art for now several years. So it was just a totally new experience. I like both. I think it's best if artists are intentional. I ultimately think that the traditional way that FX Hash does it will sort of remain the canonical way that long form generative art is done, and that something like FX Params will more and more become very project specific, where an artist takes that premise and has a vision for it, rather than taking something that would be normal long form generative and simply throwing the option just to use sliders on it. I think the best approach will be artists that have a vision for what a Params project could be. So I'm collecting both. I'm still just as excited about both. I'm looking at all the new Params projects and being much more selective than if I was looking at, say, all the FX Hash early projects, just because there is so much skill on the artist part in my mind to providing the right balance of flexibility and constraints. So hopefully it's going to continue, but I think it will be more specialized. But the ones that do it, it's going to be so, so special. I think YYYC might be the project I'm most excited about in gen art. And that's why I got so many and had so much fun with it, because I think it's a really significant achievement. It's not only the first FX Params project ever, but I think it's the best one. And I think it's going to be really hard to beat it. So whereas long form generative art traditionally is more of a, not competitive that line, but simply that the ability to bring your voice in a thoughtful way through this platform rather than just sort of pushing something through. It's going to be interesting to see which artists are able to do that and which aren't. And that doesn't mean it's a good or bad thing. And I think some artists might find that they're even better at Params than they were at the traditional long form. So as a collector who collects both for the long term and tries to collect from a value perspective, where if I'm going to spend a lot of money on something, hopefully it's something that's going to be appreciated moving forward, I'm being very sensitive to sort of the artist's thoughts and approach towards Params when I'm buying.
Yeah, sorry about setting the bar so high so early.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And yeah, it's an incredible feat to hit it so perfect on the first try. I think, yeah, I'll echo that, playing with YYYC, that it really works the best way it could. And there have been other Params projects where, for example, the load time is too long and you get a bit annoyed trying to play with it. So yeah, kudos to you, Dan, for this great project. And thank you both for this amazing discussion. It's been so great. And with that, thank you everyone for listening in, and have a great Sunday. In time.